Time for us to get on board the G&M Family Market phone line and welcome back to the show our friend Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation. Charlotte, good Monday afternoon to you.
Hello, Rich. Same to you. Happy day after Championship Sunday.
Thank you. Same to you. And I just want you to know, in honor of you, we all got bowl cuts here in the studio.
Did you really? Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
It's such a handy thing to do. You pop that bowl on, you cut the leave-ins, and you're good.
It really does work. I mean, yeah, for listeners who might not know the joke that you are referencing, Tom Brady has the weirdest social media presence and posts these cartoons, and one of them was of him and his teammates getting bowl cuts for the Super Bowl. Which, you know, yeah, there's a joke there. Sure, I'll give it to him.
I don't even understand what's going on in those comic strips that he has. I don't get it.
Oh, God, I don't either. I think that it's sort of just a running joke, and they got a little too deep in and started making up this whole story and narrative and then seemed to have somewhat abandoned it. But, you know, there was this weird crocodile that they had showing up everywhere, and Brady said we'd find out what it meant, but I'm not holding my breath. I am, however, going to the Super Bowl, and at media night, if you think that I am not going to be wandering around asking these players what's going on, you are sorely mistaken.
I also saw your tweet about the hotel you're staying at in Minnesota, and they're more than fired up for this event.
Oh my God, did you see that? I got that email this morning, which was just filled with puns. It was like, when you touch down in Minneapolis, don't be, you know, you might reserve your super conference room, but every joke, like every word that was a football pun was in a different color and in quotes. Just because they wanted to be really sure that you got the joke. And I just loved it. I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Well, yesterday, obviously a great game. But as you have mentioned, it started before the game with that 3 or 4 minute slice of awesomeness from John Malkovich.
Wasn't that unreal? Did you love that as much as I did, Rich?
I did. I've watched it about half a dozen times today, and it gets better every time.
It really does. I mean, and I wrote this in the piece I wrote sort of about playoff narrative and, you know, what the stories are going forward. But I really thought it was kind of ingenious and manipulative in a very effective way to have, you know, the actor John Malkovich doing a pump-up tease for the Jaguars and the Patriots matchup. But he, you know, the whole thing is that he's like, this is stupid. And then he wins himself over, kind of. To the point where he ends up giving the most incredible hype speech I've ever heard, and I thought I was going to go kick down a door.
Now
so jazzed.
You're a New Englander. Did you enjoy the game yesterday, or did you find it stressful?
Both. I found it very stressful. You know, it's funny because as a writer, as a sports writer, I don't really have a horse in the race. You know, like I'm rooting for the best stories and for the you know, a really great narrative. And I'll say that, you know, I'll be like, yeah, I don't really mind. I'm not sort of a diehard. And then the Patriots get on the field and I like lose my mind. You know, the inner fan comes out and I get very swept up. But I thought it was a great game. I thought it was interesting how the Jags basically just screwed themselves over in the fourth quarter. You know, they called all the same plays. Like, I think they passed on every first down and then threw a deep ball every second down. And it's like, you can't be that sloppy against the Patriots. Like, Belichick's gonna see you doing that and figure it out and, you know, deploy guys like Gilmore to ruin and crush your soul.
We're talking with Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation. It's been a weird year in the NFL, injuries to some great players, and up and down season, to say the least. But as you write, somehow the playoffs and what we have coming up in the Super Bowl have redeemed this sort of miserable regular season.
Yeah, I really do believe that. You know, I think there were some bad games, like Pat's Titans was not super fun to watch. And I didn't love the blowout last night, the Vikings Eagles. I was really hoping we'd get a close game and a good game and The Eagles, I mean, their defense, man, just I would not want to be up against them. But for the most part, there were some real thrillers. You know, Jaguars-Steelers was great. I thought that Falcons-Eagles was, you know, even though it was another Atlanta sports meltdown in real time, which can't have been fun for fans, I enjoyed watching it. So I think that was really nice because there were not a ton of games this season that I found myself watching and losing my mind over. So it was pretty cool that we got some high-quality football and some pretty cool storylines. You know, three of these teams, three out of the four, had sort of no-name quarterbacks or funny-name quarterbacks in the case of Blake Bortles. And it was really cool to just get some new stories going.
And anytime you have a major American city feel the need to grease their telephone poles with Crisco, right, you know you've got a good story going.
Seriously. I also, you know, when Philly did that to keep fans from climbing their poles, I was like, look, you really think, like, that to me was sort of a challenge. It was like Philly really wanted people to climb their poles, and they were like, what can we do to make sure that everyone tries to climb this? Oh, I know. Grease it so it seems like a challenge and they can't.
So it is a very interesting storyline for the Super Bowl. Is it possible, Charlotte, that the two most annoying fan bases in all of football will be meeting Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I tweeted that last night. I was like, what's worse? Like, come on, Boston or Philly? No one likes any of us. I think what makes me sad about this, which is it's like salt in the wound, is that A, Philly beats Minnesota and at Philadelphia, and now they have to go to play the Patriots. You know, Minnesota could have had a home Super Bowl. I mean, that would have been incredible. They really, not only did they squander their chance at a Super Bowl, but they squandered their chance at a home Super Bowl, and they did it to Nick Foles. That's not great. I think it'll, you know, I'm interested to see when I go out there, like, what the vibe is, and whether, you know, I mean, Philly fans and Pats fans clashing, like, God help us all.
By the way, and I want to mention this, you had a really wonderful piece last week before the games about touchdown celebrations and surprising discovery about the level of practice that goes into those.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks for reading that. That was really fun to report, actually. I went down to the Eagles practice facility, talked to a bunch of guys about how they plan their touchdown celebrations, which have just been so fun and exciting and really sweet all year. And I also talked to a few guys on the Vikings, some of the Jags. And, you know, what I found is they're so excited to talk about it. You know, they really wanted to tell me about how these celebrations that are very team-focused matter to the team, how they sort of pay homage to where they came from in terms of, you know, dances you would do with your family or on the playground. It was very moving. It was very moving. It was also funny to me that they don't practice, you know, like they don't practice these at all. They're sort of, they pop into their heads, they suggest them. And then the minute after they score a touchdown, they just execute on it. And I think I said to Marcus Johnson on the Eagles, I was like, how do you do that? Like, that's an incredibly choreographed level of improvisation. And he said, we're athletes. And I was like, well, there you go. The difference between you and me, Marcus.
This was a while back, but I also love the piece you did at the national championship game with Georgia and Alabama when you somehow found a Georgia Bulldog bar in New York City and watched the game from there.
Oh, yeah. Man, you know, fan heartbreak is really painful to watch. And I don't have a college team, except, you know, go Black Bears. College fandom is different, I think, from pro sports fandom, because college fandom, you either went there or your family went there or someone you love went there. Like, there's a really physical connection to the place and the school for a lot of these people. And there's a physical connection in terms of sports too, and being from somewhere that the team represents, but college is a little wackier, a little weirder. And so just, you know, that heartbreak when it looks like Georgia's going to do it for the first time in 40 years. And then just, you know, the same year as the Falcons, another Georgia meltdown is pretty tough to swallow.
Yeah, I thought we pulled you into Black Bear Nation when you were there for the Fenway games against UMass.
Right.
You know,
you did. You guys got me.
But then you were so good. You did that great piece on the game, and you interviewed Liam Cohen, and that got him a gig at Holy Cross. He left shortly afterwards, I think, largely because of the favorable piece you wrote that included him.
I highly doubt that I am the reason, but that's too bad. I didn't realize you left UMaine.
Off to Holy Cross. He's a Crusader now.
Wow, he's going to do great things there. It was so fun talking to him. I really enjoyed that.
So when do you leave for Minnesota?
I leave on Sunday, so I head out there Sunday, and then Monday is sort of media night and doing a bunch of videos and Radio Row stuff throughout the week, and also have a few features that I'm going to be working on. So I'll be there till the following Monday. So I'm basically moving to Minnesota, and to more specifically the Mall of America, where the media center is.
Fantastic. Well, hope they have an Orange Julius there.
Oh, me too. They have like the original Rainforest Cafe, Rich. I can't wait.
That's awesome. Well, have a wonderful time. Look forward to seeing your reports and mentions on social media during Super Bowl week. I know it's going to be great. Have a wonderful time, Charlotte, and we'll catch up with you a little later.
Thanks so much, Rich. Yeah, I'd love to come back and talk to you guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Charlotte. Charlotte Wilder.
Okay, bye.
SB Nation here on Downtown.